Welcome to Weekend Markets on the Red River Farm Network, and I'm Chloe Wadd. EverAg has announced the third wave of its agricultural artificial intelligence platform called Everett. This ag decision engine is targeted for agribusiness, assisting everything from grain merchandising to agronomic advice. The EverAg AI rollout began with a dairy in April and added livestock and animal proteins in June. Minnesota farmland continues to remain resilient despite weaker farm income. According to a new report from Compere Financial, high quality cropland in south central Minnesota continues to sell for $11,500 to $13,500 per acre, with some top quality tracts bringing $14,000 to $15,000. The report says fewer farms are changing hands, with less land sales across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois dropping from $2,800 annually to roughly $1,680. Analysts say the limited supply has helped support land values, but upcoming fall auctions will provide a better indication of where the farmland market is headed. Jim Emter from Van On and Company says cattle are under pressure and overall supply remains tight.
But when you look at the weights of these cattle and you look at a little slowing of demand on the domestic consumption, I think that's a catalyst to give us this cleanse here in the cattle market. We've seen these about every 4 to 5 months. We see a washout in the cattle market, then we recharge with higher markets. Again, we're not going to create cattle out of nowhere, so I think the lighter kill numbers are going to remain. It's just a matter now of finding a base and getting packers into a spot where they've got to pay up for cattle. Packers were in a pretty good spot to let this thing just fall.
The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield pushed above 4.7%. That's its highest level since January of 2025. The increase in oil prices is getting most of the blame for the uptick. This change impacts everything from interest rates on farm operating loans to grain storage costs. Due to the increase in missile and drone attacks, commercial shippers are no longer entering its Black Sea ports. The Ukrainian government said this is a decision made by shippers. Ukraine is now asking the UN Security Council for a Monday meeting to discuss the ongoing war with Russia. Renewed fighting involving Iran is creating new uncertainty for agricultural markets. Global Commodity Analytics President Mike Zuzulo says geopolitical tensions are affecting everything from grain prices to fuel costs, making it more important for farmers to stay on top of marketing and input decisions.
I just got done locking in diesel for fall needs with clients and subscribers last week. Why? In part because of that, but in part because where does this end with Iran? I'd rather be covered on the downside than have to worry about how high is, especially if I'm fighting more fertilizer prices like I was earlier this year.
Global grain suppliers are expected to tighten its 2026-27 marketing year despite another large worldwide harvest. The International Grains Council trimmed global production by 4 million metric tons to 2.422 billion metric tons and lowered ending stocks to 610 million tons, led by smaller corn and wheat inventories. Analysts say thinner supplies leave world grain markets more vulnerable to weather problems and geopolitical disruptions. Total Farm Marketing Market Advisor John Heinberg was watching a few big drivers in grain markets.
I think the biggest driver in corn has been the wheat market and what's happening with the Russia-Ukraine tensions. So that's something we got to keep an eye on. You know, wheat's had a heck of a move, a little bit negative, some top-level resistance. We'll have to see. But if something were to get resolved between Russia-Ukraine, allow those wheat exports to move, you're going to see a pretty big correction in the wheat market. I think that could spill over into corn pretty quickly. I think that's the biggest piece of the driver. We got some, you know, obviously the weather forecast, adding some premium in here as well. And then lastly, the strength in crude oil, getting over 90 a barrel this morning on the front end crude markets. I think it's helping all the row crops and the grains in general.
I'm Chloe Wadd, and that was your Week in Markets on the Red River Farm Network.
U.S. Custom Harvesters, harvesting the crops that feed the world. To locate a custom harvester, visit the U.S. Custom Harvesters Incorporated website, uschi.com. You'll find a directory of custom harvesters ready to assist you with this harvest. Call 620-200-1381. That's 620-200-1381. U.S. Custom Harvesters. You can also check them out on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Find out more at uschi.com.
Sign up for the Red River Farm Network's weekly e-newsletter. FarmNet News arrives in your inbox every Monday morning. American Sugar Beet Growers Association President Neil Rockstead is a subscriber.
That weekly email that the Red River Farm Network comes out with is my go-to place for ag news. If there's only one thing that I read all week in regards to ag news in the Red River Valley and nationwide, it's always your email, hands down.
FarmNet News, delivering news to your email every Monday. Subscribe at rrfn.com.
This is your weekend news on the Red River Farm Network. Canadian live hogs have been left off Trump's administration's new 50% tariffs on selected Canadian imports. The tariffs target about $20 billion in goods, including dairy products, alcohol, lumber, and automobiles, but do not include live swine. That's important for U.S. pork producers because Canada ships about 6 to 7 million wiener and feeder pigs to the United States each year, with many finishing in Iowa and southern Minnesota. Industry analysts say including live hogs could have sharply increased costs for Midwest finishers and tighten pork supplies. The tariffs are scheduled to take effect around August 19th, although final implementation details are expected before then. A lawsuit seeking damages from the Big Four meatpackers has been granted class action status. The lawsuit claims Cargill, JBS, National Beef, and Tyson Foods conspired to restrict beef supplies to push prices higher. This litigation began 7 years ago. The CME Group has launched two new contracts. There is now a 90% and 50% beef trim contracts as a risk management tool, bridging the gap between live cattle prices and ground beef sales. The USDA SPUR program will provide $500 million in support to eligible processing facilities handling 2,000 head of cattle or fewer a day. USDA's Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Richard Fordyce, says the assistance is targeted to qualifying small and medium-sized facilities and will be administered directly through USDA.
This is for plants that kill 2,000 or less a day. And there's only a handful of those as you think about what's around the country. And when I say a handful, I don't know, 20 to 30 entities maybe. I mean, they'll have multiple locations. They've got to be either federally inspected or they're inspected through federal inspection under the Talmadge-Aiken Act. And folks will know what that is if they're a processor. Basically, it allows for state inspectors to work under the USDA flag.
U.S. Custom Harvesters are making the case for its members to receive part of the $12 billion in farm assistance. The USCHI members said farmers often have access to crop insurance or disaster assistance when there are crop losses. However, custom harvesters lose contracted work and revenue with no safety net. They're asking for $250 million in targeted farm relief. Year-round E15 remains a talking point, but a tight congressional calendar is making that a more difficult conversation. Growth Energy CEO Emily Score says Senate Leader John Thune wants a standalone bill, but that will require 60 Senate votes.
Having said that, I think it's increasingly more likely that this is something of a bigger package at the end of the year. When you look at just how many weeks left do we have this summer before they go to August recess, then you've got the midterms. We are pushing for them to do something as fast as possible, but we're also very realistic. Whatever's the best way for this to move. By itself, with something else, we don't care. We just want it to get done.
According to a report from the University of Minnesota Extension, the small grain harvest is underway in southern Minnesota. In the early reports, the yields are better than expected with good quality. In the Red River Valley, the report said the recent dry, hot weather is pushing up the time to check on the level and severity of Fusarium head blight. The Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat and Durham Tour wrapped up with its final average yield estimate of 48 bushels per acre. That's down slightly from last year's 48.3 bushel per acre average. To wrap it up, the average Durham yield was 48.2 bushels per acre. That was your weekend news, and I'm Chloe Wadd with the Red River Farm Network.
Visit Minnesota Farm Fest, August 4th through the 6th. Plan to attend the forums and educational sessions, attend the new 2027 Profit Roadmap Seminar, and hear from congressional candidates as they tackle ag issues at the FarmFest forums. Let FarmFest help you prepare for the future, August 4th through the 6th in Redwood County. Get tickets at farmfest.com and use that discount code RADIO26 at checkout. Imagine this. You gather a stadium full of farmers, step up to the podium, and tell them about your business. What would that be worth to you and your company? This is Don Wick from the Red River Farm Network. We fill that stadium every day with some of the most progressive-minded, forward-thinking farmers and ranchers around the world. Find out how the Red River Farm Network can carry your message to farmers and ranchers. We're the Red River Farm Network, and we're reporting agriculture's business.
This is your weekend weather on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Chloe Wadd. This weekend is shaping up to be very hot. Highs will reach to the 90s, with some locations nearing 100 degrees. Humidity will also increase, creating a major risk for excessive heat across much of the region. The extreme heat and Canadian wildfire smoke are creating new challenges across the Farm Belt. Heat advisories and excess heat warnings remain in effect for parts of the upper Midwest. Smoke is also reducing air quality across portions of the Midwest, and concerns come as much as the U.S. corn crop enters pollination, a critical stage for determining yield potential. This past week, the extreme heat has zapped North Dakota's corn. 61% of the corn is rated good to excellent, down 10% in the past 7 days. 20% of North Dakota's corn is silking. For soybeans, 58% of the crop has good to excellent rating. 20% of the beans are setting pods, well ahead of the 5-year average of 11%. Buffalo, North Dakota farmer Randy Melvin says despite receiving less than 4 inches of rain since May 1st, his crops have held up better than expected.
Everything, this crop is looking way better than it should for the amount of rain we've had. Actually, kind of still cautiously optimistic about the potential for this year's crop, but would a rain be beneficial? Yes, but the flip side is I just do not want to have a repeat of what we had last August with that 5 to 8 inches in a 24-hour period. I'd rather have this dry weather than that excess moisture with what we had with last August.
Melvin says corn is beginning to show some stress in lighter soils, but morning dew and remaining soil moisture has him cautiously optimistic.
Our corn crop, As of today, I'm still cautiously optimistic. I got a couple of fields with some lighter pockets in it that are showing some stress. You know, all in all, still optimism there if we can get through. We're still having dew in the morning. We've still got moisture in the ground there in a lot of areas. So, I mean, if this corn crop can get through the next 4, 5, 6 days, at some point here soon, we should be okay. I mean, I'm not dire straits on this corn crop yet.
Despite the heat and dry conditions, central North Dakota corn continues to show strong potential. Scott Spear, District 7 representative and vice chairman of the North Dakota Corn Utilization Council, says timely rains earlier this season have helped keep the crop in good condition.
I think our corn crop out in this area in central North Dakota is looking pretty good. It's hard to even gauge how tall it is because it's growing so fast from day to day. It's looking a little rough now with the, you know, dry weather and everything that's come, you know, in the past week or so. So, I mean, you can tell that it's stressed a little bit, but I think as a whole, the corn crop is looking very good. We've had some timely rains from, you know, planting all the way up till now. So I think we have a opportunity to have a very nice corn crop if we can just catch a few more rains and, you know, maybe get the temperature to back off a little bit.
Tar spot has made its return to Minnesota cornfields for the 2026 growing season. The fungal disease has been confirmed in Cottonwood, Fillmore, Jackson, Murray, and Nobles counties. Tar spot thrives under extended periods of leaf wetness and can reduce yields if it becomes established before dense stage. Timely scouting and fungicide applications remain the best management tools. Rafe Joliffe, president of the U.S. Custom Harvesters Board and based in eastern Colorado, says this year's harvest has been a struggle from the start, with drought and freeze damage cutting deep into wheat acres.
Like I say, I know specifically like on the wheat harvest in this area, most of the wheat did under 10 bushel. Again, most of what was cut was only cut for seed wheat. You know, fall crop outlook, like I said yesterday, we're in dry land, you know, eastern Colorado. I think 50 to 60 bushel corn is going to be a pretty good year most years here. We've got potential for that now. As of yesterday, I would have said we were going to drought out and probably make nothing. Overall conditions were pretty tough. And some of the corn, it's too late. Some of it won't be saved by this moisture, but we actually have potential now.
I'm Chloe Wadd, and that was your weekend weather update from the Red River Farm Network.
For potatoes, Provosol from BASF delivers unmatched control of early blight, black dot, and brown spot.
We recommend 4 fluid ounces per acre and include a non-ionic surfactant at 1 quart per 100. It can be applied aerially. It can be sprayed multiple times in a season, but always make sure to rotate away from a group 3 fungicide to something else in between. And it's very tank mix compatible with insecticides as well as other fungicides too.
That's Ben Sigalski from BASF. Performance and profit in potatoes all start with Provosol fungicide from BASF.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.